They're important.
Why? Because they start the book and so you know you're on the right foot going forward.
All right.
It gives you the history and why is man in trouble today?
Exactly, right? People are asking questions about their point of origin and life, its beginnings, and what's going on in the world. Why are bad things happening? Why is God doing this or that? Well, Genesis 1 through 3 has the answers. There is a beginning. And there's the problem of sin in the world. And that's not God's doing. So it has answers for us. And also then it has a solution. In verse 15, which we're going to look at too. All right, so number 7, under we review the lesson on page 18. With which words did God declare to Satan that a state of conflict would now arise? So we're looking at Genesis 3:15, that first gospel promise. With what words did God declare to Satan that a state of conflict would now arise? Yeah, there's going to be enmity, there's going to be war, conflict between you and the woman's offspring. Right? So Jesus had come and said, you know, I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. There is going to be conflict on this side of heaven. And especially then between Satan and believers and ultimately Jesus. So whom, number 8, did God promise to send to crush Satan's power? Jesus. Right? So what would happen to him in the process?
He would suffer and die.
Yeah, he would suffer and die. Right? He would be defeated in the end, the devil would be, but he would offer up a bruising as Jesus was brought to the cross. But through that cross, Jesus offered up the ultimate blow to Satan. Surrender really powerless. But unfortunately, as we know, we human beings, we give in to Satan and give him room way too long. Number 10, how was this promise of God fulfilled?
The ever famous answer, Jesus.
Jesus, right? You know, again, dying on the cross. The importance of the cross. Again, why people say, wait, what is this cross thing? There are people who don't know what the cross really represents. They wear the jewelry, they see the jewelry, they see paintings of it, pictures of it. But what does it really mean? You know, yes, for us it represents Jesus and the pain he went through to free us. So the cross for us means freedom. So what were some of the sad results of the sin of Adam and Eve?
Death
ultimately.
Well, their pain in childbirth, the ground would be cursed, and their work would be hard.
Yeah. You know, I mean, work would be toilsome. It'd be hard. It'd be difficult. So sin comes with consequences, and the ultimate consequence being death. Separation from God, so there's a spiritual death, and then there's that eternal death as people remain separated from God or get separated from God spiritually, they remain eternally separated. Number 12.
I'll trip over it anyway.
Why did God drive them out of the Garden of Eden?
Disobedience. I don't think he wanted them to be living eternally in the state of sin that they were in.
All right, not to live eternally in a state of sin, right? It really was for their own good. So it wasn't he was being mean to them. Now again, if people had a worldview of God, that he's vengeful and he's hateful and doesn't care for us, no, unfortunately, no matter what we try to say at the time, they're going to just keep holding that worldview. But we hold our ground and we pray the Holy Spirit keeps chipping away at their worldview. So what two things, I'll just back it up on that, you know, again, when does God deliver us from this sinful state? From this world that we live in.
When we die.
When we die, right? So, I mean, death, again, it is a victory for us. Now, we don't do anything to hasten it, fifth commandment, but we also see that, as Paul said, to live is Christ, to die is gain. It really is gain for us. Because when you think about it, do you really want to live in this sinful world. What do we sometimes say as we listen to the news day in and day out?
Come, Lord Jesus.
Yeah, come, Lord Jesus, right? Man, can it get any worse? And then the next day, hey, it gets worse, right? But generations have been saying that. And generations, by the grace of God, have been delivered from this veil of tears. While we're here, we make hay, right? We live as God wants us to. We go and be the salt and light, carry out the gospel. But he delivers us as well from this veil of tears. 13, what two things did God reveal to Adam and Eve when he spoke to them? What two things did he reveal?
Jesus in heaven.
Jesus in heaven? All right. So we're going to put that as one revelation. They're in the same camp. The door, Jesus, the door to heaven, the solution to the problem of our sin. What else did he reveal to them?
That he was going to send his Savior.
What was that?
That he was going to send his Savior.
He was going to send his Savior? Okay, we're going to put that in the same camp of Jesus in heaven?
Well, I think it goes back to what we said before. Life will be hard, and then you'll die.
All right, he also showed his righteous anger. So on the opposite spectrum, he showed his righteous anger for their disobedience. At the same time, he gave them an undeserved promise of salvation. Now, does God have a right to be angry? Yeah, you here. But what about the world? Does the world say God has a right to be angry?
No.
Why do they say that?
God's love.
They don't believe it. God's love, right? Yeah, God is love. But again, does a parent ever get angry?
No.
Does a parent sometimes have a right to be angry?
Yes.
Sure. Why does a parent get angry? Because they
disobey.
What?
Your child was disobedient.
Child was disobedient, and because the parent is loving. Yeah, the parent loves the child. So the child does something disobedient, the parent has a righteous anger. There is a righteous anger. Now we need to be careful not to sin in our anger. Right? But the Psalms, many people have trouble with the Psalms, especially the opening ones of David, because he's talking about a righteous anger and God bringing justice. There's nothing wrong with God asking God to bring justice to this world that has turned his back on him. And God, in his time, will. And in fact, he does have perfect justice for this world. And it's a good thing that he is the judge, because if we human beings had to be judged, you know, would we prematurely judge people when God can see the bigger picture, because he can read the heart?
But there'll be hostility between the believers and unbelievers.
There will be, exactly. So it shouldn't surprise us then that the people of this world and the people of Christ will be in conflict. Now, we should be able to be civil with one another, right? I mean, because even the unbelievers, they have a natural knowledge, they have a conscience, so they know how to be civil. And we as children of God need to be civil. It doesn't mean we can't defend ourselves, we can't speak up for what is right, but we need to do that with love and respect, right? Speak the truth in love. And it's not for us to argue, but to have a discussion. And so when people aren't, if they're not discussing, but they want to be uncivil, what do you need to do? What's a good thing to do?
Walk away.
Walk away, right? It really is. And let them call the names when they call Jesus. And they call Jesus even part of the devil. Hey, you're one of the devil. You're with devil. What? How can Satan be against Satan? So if I'm fighting against the devil, why would I be with the devil? But we just need to keep that in mind, too, that there is that hostility that exists and how we handle it. That's turning the other cheek. We can defend ourselves. We can speak the truth in love. But sometimes it's just walking away and picking our battles carefully. It's not easy. But through Christ, it's possible. And it is the way to go. Number 14. What do we call that word of God which shows us our sin? The law. What do we call that word of God which shows us how Jesus saved us from the consequences of our sin?
The gospel.
The gospel, right? You know, does anybody like the law?
Lawyers.
Well, the Bible says, I love your law, O Lord.
Yeah, the believer, right? The new man in us loves the law. because we know it's there for our good, but our old Adam doesn't like the law. And just in general, people don't like law, whether it be God's law or man's law. We see a police officer, and what's our first reaction typically? You know, it's like, it's not a positive vibe that's going through, but a negative one, because the law officer represents the law and our conscience. And our conscience doesn't like to be provoked.
That depends on if you're driving or just walking. If you're driving, then you get scared.
Well, on a lead foot, yeah. But then you have a reason to be, right? So again, as we take a look at that, yeah, why did the officer pull me over? Not me, but why did the officer pull Fran over? Because she was going 55 and a 25. So who should she be upset at?
Herself.
But yeah, she's mad at Paul who bought her the car. You know, it's just, we take deflecting.
It's
we
the blame shifting. Blame shifting.
The blame shifting. Yeah, that's right. Number 16, what do we too need to hear when we have sinned thus?
Both.
We need to hear both. And it's important that we hear both law and gospel. You know, and then, you know, as pastors, that old joke of, you know, I gave him the law this Sunday, I'll give him the gospel next week, but Henry died in between, so he ended up hearing the law. You know, no. You want to preach law and gospel. And it's that gospel then that drives you and me, the new man in us, back to the law as a guide. And that's where, as the psalmist points out beautifully, our delight in the commands of the Lord. Because he knows what's best for us. You know, with our gospel reading is talking about the door, the narrow door. You know, the wider door, yeah, with, you know, the party attitude and this and that, it's all about me, but that door that keeps us focused. Because God knows if you continue in that party mode, what can happen to your faith? You know, God knows if you continue to hang around temptation. That's why we pray, Lord, deliver us from temptation. Help me know what a temptation is for me. Because my temptation may be different than that person's temptation. And then move me out of that circumstances. 17, what should therefore be our prayer?
Forgive me a sinner.
Yeah, forgive me a sinner. Come, Lord, come when I have sinned. Amen, Lord. Shower your grace upon me. So reviewing the scriptures, your homework, and the story of Adam and Eve's fallen to sin. The devil suddenly enters the scene speaking to Eve through the serpent. Based on those passages that you looked at, what do they tell us about the devil's origin?
He was an angel.
He was an angel.
A fallen angel.
He lied.
He was there from the beginning.
So he was there from the beginning. So does that mean God created him to be a liar? Not a lawyer, a liar.
It's anonymous.
I thought it was interesting that it says he was a murderer from the beginning. Yes. Is that more along the lines of Jesus saying, if you hate your brother, you're a murderer? Or were the angels able to kill each other? I don't know. You know, that, you almost.
Well, and again, the angels were created as Adam and Eve were created with the ability not to sin. It's only after the fall into sin that now we no longer are created that way, and angels are that fixed number, right? He doesn't make any more good angels, and there are no more evil angels populating. But so yeah, from the beginning, basically, right? From the beginning, Satan rebelled against God. And since he couldn't take out God, the Creator, that's the next best thing. But that's what's interesting. So God did not create Satan to be an evil angel. But it didn't take long for Satan to rebel. Well, they had the ability not to sin. So again, it's something we can't fully comprehend. Now, Adam and Eve, and along with the angels, had this free will to choose to serve God in good. But they did. And you and I, you know, we can't choose to serve God on our own. We can go against him. And that's why no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. But it just goes to show that it did not take long, unfortunately, for Satan to rebel and then his true colors from the rebellion point on kept being revealed. He wasn't created to be that way, but it didn't take long for him to rebel. So the father of lies from the beginning. Because again, we'll think of some of the lies he tells us. What did he tell Adam and Eve?
You won't really die.
You won't really die.
Be like God.
Yeah, you're going to be like God. In a sense, they already were, in a sense, like God.
Did he really say that?
Yeah, did he really say that? Right? And doesn't he do that same logic with us? Do friends do that same logic, the peer pressure and so forth?
I guess trying to go back to the fact that it says he's a murderer and a liar. We understand he's a liar, but how is he a murderer? Maybe that's along the lines that it's like once you hit the law is a chain, and once you break one length of the chain, you break the whole chain. So it's not like you when you become sinful, it's not like you sin a little bit, you sin a little bit more. And so even the story of Adam and Eve, you know, okay, they sin by taking the fruit, but immediately their son, not long after, becomes a murderer. So it's like a whole package. You can't just pick the parts of bad, of sinfulness you are. Once you're sinful, you're, I guess, prone or to all of the types of sin.
Yeah, flesh gives birth to flesh. So again, we don't have to teach a child to be rude, to be selfish. They have that now naturally. But we have to teach them how to be respectful and kind. And it's an ongoing lesson. So yeah, the devil's a murderer because, again, what came with his lie? Yeah, it's that eternal separation from God, eternal death. And only by the grace of God is that then are we in a position to have that reversed. The physical death comes, so we all are subject to die. So, yeah, the murder and hatred for all of us, too. When we really have an intense hatred for someone, what do we really wish for that person?
Yeah.
That they were dead. And, you know, again, that's a time of grace. That's not our place to wish somebody dead. Now, can we hate something is there a righteous hatred? I hate every wrong path. Sure, there's a righteous hatred as there's a righteous anger. But again, we have to be careful not to go then to the extreme with anger and hatred.
Well, I was going to say that the devil's a murderer because he hates God.
Yes.
And that hate is murder.
Yeah, that's a good point. The devil is a murderer because he hates God. And then anyone who hates God and encourages people to hate God with them is also a murderer. Number two, then, Ephesians 6 and 1 Peter 5. What does the Bible tell us about the devil's present activity?
Very active.
He still schemes. He still deceives.
Yeah, he's still seeking to devour people. He's that roaring lion. He may look cute and cuddly, but he's nothing but. You know, you've heard that story, too, of the pit bull on the chain playing catch. You know, a ball runs over to near the pit bull. And the little child, he goes, and the dog throws the ball back, you know, with his nudges it. And the child, oh, this is fun, throws it back to the pit bull. And the pit bull nudges it, but not as far. The child gets a little closer, plays it, nudges it back a little closer. All of a sudden, the child's right next to the pit bull. What's the pit bull do?
It goes past the ball.
latches on. So, I mean, that's the devil. He's on a chain, but he's very good at deceiving us, getting us to play the game. He draws us in. And so we have to be aware of that, what the devil's up to. You know, we try to prep our children, right, through Sunday school and through confirmation classes, because we know what high school is going to bring. We know what college is going to bring. But oftentimes what happens once they get confirmed? Why is a disconnection? Well, again, some of the parents say, well, now that they're 13, they can make, that's their own decision. Okay? And they're not setting examples for them either. It's not all in the parents. But there is, and then how much are they really spending time in the Word versus spending time in the flesh. Right? And eventually, if you're observing more of the flesh, what's going to happen? You know, Psalm 1 is there for a reason. Meditate on the word of the Lord day and night. Jesus is aware of the battle we face, and he's given us the tools to fight it. But if we keep dropping the tools, who's that on?
Say the forces of evil in this world are very real, that people treat it like a fantasy.
Sure.
It's, you know, it's not really real, just you Christians, you know.
Yeah, forces of evil are a reality. Some treat it like a fantasy. Right? I'm repeating what you said for them, not repeating it.
I'm sure Dan would say the same thing, you know, with his kids now. You're in the service. You get so tired of doing things over and over and over again till it's almost routine. But when everything breaks loose on you and you're in trouble, you can fall back on that because you can do it. That's the same with us. We need to keep doing it over and over and again. So when we are tempted and pushed, we can fall back and know how to do it.
Oh, that's a good illustration. Dan, would you agree?
Yes.
No, right. Same with our firefighters and our law enforcement. Again, they do those drills over and over and over again. They may seem mindless, and same with us in the faith. Sometimes you go, hey, I know those facts already. But it's those facts, it's those the fundamentals. That's what we say, too, with Sunday school little children. We're all eager about application, but if they don't have a foundation to build those applications on, what good are the applications? And that's where then the compromises start. We need that solid foundation to then build. That's what we say when they're young. Just keep preaching the basics and the foundation, and then, hey, the applications come, and we'll build on more of those scenarios. But we always like the glitz and the glamour, right? And but sometimes you just got to get down in there, into the trenches. All right, number three, based on Ephesians and Matthew, what weapons can be used to resist the devil's power?
The armor of God.
Yeah, the word of God, right? So we've touched on that. Point B, number one. Talking about the image of God, what is meant by the fact that mankind was created in God's image?
Perfection.
Yeah, they were created in sync with God. Right? They had a right relationship with God. They were righteous, truly, and blameless before God. And then with the fall into sin, right, we lost that. And through the work of Christ that has been partially restored, in Christ, we have that image partially restored, and in heaven, it'll be fully restored.
Well, he uses a phrase, renewed in the knowledge of the Creator. So before sin, they didn't need a Bible because they knew everything there was to know about God. Right. And then after sin, then everything becomes clouded and confused, and it's only through the Word of God that we get a better knowledge of God.
Well, correct, right? And that's why we have the written word, because it does get clouded. And so we need that written word to remind us perfectly what it is. So just again, a reminder on Madison between Sunrise and Hazel. What's the speed limit?
50.
The whole stretch or just part
school,
of the stretch?
School zone, yes, sir. It's going to be 15, 25.
All right. So. But what's the stretch then between the speed limit between Sunrise and Fair Oaks?
45.
Okay. And then once you get past Fair Oaks,
I love that part.
Still 45.
It's 50. Right? But then there's the school zone, right? But you know, how many times have we driven that stretch? And do we automatically know what the speed limit is? We need that reminder, and we have those signs there to remind us.
It's not that late in the morning. You don't go
yet.
All right. Number three. Well, okay, number two, what happened to all, right? Born sinful, conceived and born in sin. We don't want to dismiss that because that's what so many people miss. Why are there bad people in the world? Well, it goes back to original sin. Flesh gives birth to flesh. We see that in Genesis 5. Adam and Eve had a son. In their image. Not in God's image, but in their image. And so, what That's the answer to that. Number three, in whom is mankind's only hope of salvation to be found? Point C, God promised a Savior in the seed or offspring, a woman who would crush the head of the serpent. Number one, to whom was this promise renewed?
All nations.
Abraham. To all nations, initially though, to
Abraham,
Isaac, and Jacob, right? And they were children of Israel then, were to be the beacon, they were to be the Great Commission people of that day to the people around them. Number two, are prophecies that Isaiah made concerning the Savior's coming? Virgin birth. Okay? He would rule all things. So when Jesus came in flesh, there should have been no doubt that he indeed was the one. All the evidence was there. The message he spoke, the works that he did, but that he would take on human flesh. Why did he have to take on human flesh?
How else would he know what our problems were? He could substitute for us.
Okay, he truly is one with us. As Hebrews points out, he knows what temptation is. How many times was he tempted just in the final days? What was he tempted by?
The devil.
Okay, in the garden.
His flesh.
Okay. He could walk away from this. Not my will, but your will be done. And then even on the cross, what did they say?
If you're the Son of God, come down from the cross.
Hey, Son of God, come down, save yourself. As tempting as that might have been, he did not give in to that temptation because he knew what was at stake. So again, temptation in itself is not sin, but if we play with temptation, it can lead to, James is very good about pointing that out, right? Desire gives birth to sin. So if we keep delving into those desires, eventually we could. And it's become so easy today too, right? To feed our desires, which then leads to sin. We carry them in our pockets, we carry them in our purse, right? Bad desires are so close to us. Let's see, point D. In his holy word, God speaks to us in his law, which shows us our sin and our need of a Savior. He also speaks to us in the sweet message of the gospel, which points out us to our Savior from sin, death, and everlasting punishment. So, law or gospel? 1 John 3:4, everyone who sins,
law,
breaks the law, right? Isaiah 53,
gospel.
What
is Isaiah 53?
All this is from God who, Isaiah 53:5, pierced for our transgressions.
So I guess that was law and gospel, because he had to be
You could say it because of the sins, yes, but it's the gospel message that he was what Christ did for us, rescued us, so he was pierced. 2 Corinthians 5:18, all this is from God who has
gospel
reconciled, has brought us to peace with God, and he has given us this ministry of reconciliation. Romans 3.
Love. All have sinned.
All have sinned and fall short. God has his expectations. 10 commandments is a benchmark. We fall short of those commandments. Deuteronomy 4.
Law.
Really?
Consuming fire.
God is a consuming fire. You didn't put that as gospel? Right? God is a jealous God. And we've talked about earlier, God does have a right to be jealous. First commandment. He doesn't make it hard. We do. Right? Fear, love, and trust in God above all things. That really isn't hard in and of itself. But it becomes hard, again, with all the things that are thrown at us. And God knows that. Thus, he repeats in Scripture what we need. He gives us that armor. Romans 3:24. Gospel. We have been justified freely, declared not guilty. George.
We all live in Sacramento. And, John Sutter came here to become rich. And he was cheated. That's the world.
So, yeah, Sutter coming here to get rich, it really didn't work out for him in some respects, so he left.
He left and died.
Left and died. Well, anyway, if we put our stock into things of this world, what's going to happen eventually? We're going to be disappointed by the things of this world, and we are going to die. You know, then what? And we've talked about earlier, some people don't even care about the then what anymore. And that's just another tough animal to crack. But again, that's the Holy Spirit's work, not ours. But you're right, we want to keep our focus on the author and perfecter of our faith. Will we still have disappointments in this world?
Yep.
Sure. But he reminds us where our eyes need to be fixed. And while we will be disappointed in this world, we won't be disappointed with what he has for us now and to come. And sometimes, again, those disappointments that we endure now help us remind us of what we have really to hold on to. So those disappointments are not without purpose, reducive of purpose. James 1, 14 to 15.
Law.
But that is law, right? We referenced that earlier. Desire gives birth to sin. You know, temptation drags us away. Isaiah 64.
Law,
right? All our righteous acts are like filthy rags, even the good that we do. Still tainted with sin. Still don't merit perfection with God. That perfection that we need only comes through Christ. Isaiah 1.
Gospel.
Gospel, right?
White
as snow, right? John 3?
That's a tough one.
Right? You know, gospel. Again, how much does God love us? How much does he care for us? What was his motive behind it? It was that unconditional, you know, it wasn't because he saw so-and-so was going to come to faith or because so-and-so was going to be so good. Because of his mercy. Not wanting to give us what we truly deserve, that he sent his son. And whoever believes will be saved. Again, it's not complicated. It doesn't whoever believes and has to do X amount of works. It's not whoever believes and has to walk a tightrope to get to heaven. Whoever believes will be saved. And show that you do believe by then your life. Many Bible interpreters today claim that the story of the fall into sin is recorded for us in Genesis 3 as a myth. Perhaps it teaches us some important truths about God and mankind, they say. These things could not have happened in the way in which they are literally recorded. How could a serpent speak, they argue? How would you answer such statements?
Eve understood him completely.
All right, Eve understood him completely, okay.
So I was thinking about this, the way people are today. If you described a highly intelligent extraterrestrial being, possibly from another dimension in the multiverse, was able to telepathically speak through a serpent to Eve, then people said, well, you know, that might, you know,
yeah.
You got some of our top science, you know.
No, that's a good point. It's not out of the realm of possibility according to their viewpoint. There is life, according to their viewpoint, outside of us.
Right, there can, with all the millions of planets and star systems, and so, there must be millions of aliens out there. And
right? We keep searching for it.
But we don't believe in an angel. Or
right? Yeah. You know, again, people believe, like Native Americans, for example, believe in the spirits, and everything spiritual, and how God communicates through that.
I just always, I don't know if amazed is the right word, but in just regular conversation, almost everybody in the world would know if you say, well, stop playing Adam and Eve. People would know what that means. I mean, references in the Bible are crossword puzzle clues. And just how that word, it's been around forever, and it will be around forever. And just those tiny little evidences of it in the world. And we want to minimize God, but I guess I'm just always kind of newly refreshed. The people do know, thankfully, but Quran isn't in the crossword puzzle, or things like that. But I think pretty much everybody knows some kind of reference to the Bible.
Well, again, go to the natural knowledge of God. The heavens declare the glory of God. The natural law written in our heart. And so people go to great lengths then to deny what they know is there, again, because it goes back to the conscience. And I don't want to have to feel guilty for having pleasure the way I define pleasure. You know, again, any one of us is capable of doing heinous sins because of our sinful nature. It's only by the grace of God that we don't. And so we can't lose sight of that.
Joseph Stalin could quote the Bible better than many Christians.
Sure.
I don't think I put him in any close to that category.
Right. And there are many atheists who know the Bible better than Christians. But it doesn't mean that we should then feel like we're on the wrong page either. You know, it means we need to study more, or it's not our gift to be able to retain all that. But we know where to go if we need to. And finally, do we have to answer every question? No, there are just some things we don't understand. Again, our minds compared to God's mind. And so it is a matter of faith. And like he said to Job, were you there when I laid the earth's foundations?
Yes.
I was there. And so it goes back to that verbal inspiration, too. And then again, what's the alternative? All right, if we don't believe in God and how Genesis 1 through 3 records things, what's the alternative?
It's all an accident.
All an accident? There isn't any?
Random, yeah.
And again, how's that working out for our world?
Not well.
No, not well at all, right? Again, you know, the world talks about we want peace and we want unity and we want kindness and compassion. And yet overall, what's the world doing time and time again?
Just the opposite.
Just the opposite, right?
And in the sermon today, there's one door. There's no other way.
You got that from the sermon?
We were waiting for that one. Okay.
Good. Right? But that can be an argument point. You know, we watched that movie, God Is Not Dead, and that was one of the arguments, too, where the pastor said, hey, there's only one way to heaven. The Jesus way. Oh! Oh, God just got people up in arms. And so that's, again, where the blood pressure can get bullying. It's like, that's why sometimes you just got to take that step away and come back for another day. Or, you know, sometimes there's people are trying to intentionally bait you so that they can throw it back at you. And when you lose your cool. You know, like in the movie last night, the pastor lost his cool. There was kind of a righteous anger there, but at the same time, could have dealt with it better. But that's all it took for them to say, see, you're no better. And technically, human beings as we are, we're not better. We need Jesus just as much as everybody else. But see, you know, that's why Jesus gives us that encouragement, too, about turning the other cheek and so forth. All right. Modern textbooks in our school system often promote secular humanism. In fact, a bitter court battle is being waged over this issue. Children are taught that they are the most important of all that exists, and that they should be the center of their interests and concern, that they are by nature basically good, that they must therefore take charge of their own lives and develop these good qualities inside of them in order to become successful in life. All references to God are eliminated in these textbooks, even historical accounts which refer to people turning to God for help. Which doctrine of the Bible do these teachings deny? Again, before we get into that, we're not trying to throw the baby out with the bathwater. There are some good things there. But what's the underlying motive behind it all? And then what are we missing, too? What can't we do on our own? And why?
We can't save ourselves.
Why?
Because we're not God.
We're not perfect.
And we're not perfect. We forget that original sin. Again, why do teachers sometimes struggle with their students? Because we have, yeah, they're sinful. And they too, are like with Paul, are struggling with their old Adam and new man. And it doesn't take much sometimes when you're young and immature in faith to have the old Adam win with the peer pressure and the so forth. You know, sometimes you talk to a child one and one, they're the sweetest child. And you get them in a group and you go, what happened? Right, that group mentality.
I love it when they say, you know, everyone thinks they're the center of attention. Well, you get it in work and other times. They both, I said, my answer to them was, when you find out who is most important, come on in and we'll discuss the rest of it with you.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, they don't always like it, but hey, I don't know. Why are you so important? And, you know,
because who is to be the center? And who is? I mean, God is and is to be, right? And so we can't have that, so you have to be that center. And then again, if everybody's the center and there's really no foundation, what kind of society do we have? We have, you know, it shouldn't surprise us that we do have the conflicts that we have, but then who gets blamed for those conflicts? God does, and then the Christians get blamed for it as well. When you're trying to point people to the door, the way to really get along. All right. So teenage suicide is increasingly becoming a problem. Young people fail to achieve popularity and success. They often become depressed. Some of you think that life lost its meaning for them, that there is no real hope for them in life. Who needs to speak to them? How can we help them find hope and meaning in life? Can you think of a Bible passage which would be helpful to such a person? So, any of those questions. Who needs to speak to them? How can we help them find meaning? You think of a Bible passage.
Sometimes it's hard to know if they have those thoughts because they don't tell anybody.
Right? Okay. Sometimes it's hard to know if they have those thoughts because they don't tell anybody, right? Yep. You know, that's it. Not that it's the magic formula, but, you know, again, the importance of having a relationship and spending time with your children as best you can. And then again, what can we do to support? You know, there was a, yesterday in the news, right, there was a support single mom day. You know, that's good. There's a lot of pressure there. You know, so what are we doing? Single moms, single dads. Parenting with a mom and a dad is tough enough. And then when you're a single parent. So what can we do to help encourage families in that situation? In all families. Okay? One of the things, too, is this, sometimes why do people reluctant to share what's going on in their life?
Maybe they're ashamed.
Yeah, shame, right? And it might be when they share with somebody, it's they get the law right away, or they get that look right away, or of disappointment. And again, who of us is above, like Jesus said to the adulterers, who of us can cast the first stone?
I was thinking my mother-in-law, I think if you would have said to her, I just killed somebody, she would say, let's sit down and talk about it. You know, instead of my mother probably would say, oh, no, no.
Yeah. You know, just showing patience, love, but still holding accountable, mm-hmm. Right? One pastor had somebody confess that he had murdered someone. And the pastor, you know, in counseling, I can't, you know, it wasn't me, but just can't say go. I'm going to go to the cops in place of, but strongly encouraged, you need to turn yourself in. You're forgiven, but there's consequences. Mm-hmm.
I think I'd lead him to Romans 8, 1 and 2.
Okay, Romans 8, 1 and 2.
Yeah, basically, God has value in you. You've been bought and paid for. You're precious in God's sight.
Okay.
Why would you dare do harm to something that's so precious and such a valuable?
All right, you're precious in God's sight, you're valuable, because again, where do teenagers try to find their value?
This is kind of a horror story from the late 70s, but in Southern California, there was a church out in the San Fernando Valley where the youth minister was telling teenagers that if they just couldn't deal with it, it was okay to commit suicide because it was God's way of taking them away from their pain, and, you know, God had a place for them that was better. And so the people couldn't figure out why there were, all of a sudden two or three or four suicides at this one church. So it's a warning of knowing what your kids are being taught by whom. It wasn't a Lutheran church, okay?
But that's one of those many doors that's out there that it may sound good, especially when you're going through something like that. Why not? You know, again, and there are signs, too, when they're cutting themselves or whatever, those indicates that something's not right, and we need to take the time to find out what that is. And you got to do that patiently and lovingly. Because usually when at that point, there's something deep-rooted behind it. Once you kind of hear the story of sometimes, well, you can see why people end up the way they are. Yeah, there's a lot of junk going on in people's lives. And Jesus is aware of that. And who did Jesus come for? The people of junk in their lives. there is an answer. There is someone who cares. You do have a friend. First Peter, you are a chosen people. You get self-esteem. My self-esteem should not come from my girlfriend or through the car I drive or what position I play in sports, but through Christ. And that's easier said than done. But again, keeping connection to Christ. There's many other passages that we get there. Part of it, too, is being real. You know, letting your light shine, too. Authenticity is important. They know us, moms and dads, too. Other adults in their life, they are reading us. What are they reading? So close to ponder as we wrap this up. Inquisitive people ask why God permitted Satan to tempt Eve. Furthermore, why Satan waylaid Eve through the serpent rather than through a different animal? But who can supply the reason for the things that he sees the divine majesty has permitted to happen? Let us not sit in judgment on our God. Let us rather be judged by him. Hence, the answer to all such queries must only be this. It pleased the Lord that Adam should be tempted and should test his powers. So it is still today. Well, again, what did God ask Abraham to do? To kill his son. I thought you were against murder, God. But what did God know?
It wouldn't happen.
It wouldn't happen.
He knew Abraham's faith.
Right. It was a test for Abraham. God knew the outcome, and God provided the lamb. Abraham knew that, right? You know, God doesn't put us all into that same situation. But he does equip those he has called to deal with the situations we have. We leave this chapter 3 of Genesis, with a sigh over the glory that was lost and with a deep regret over the loss of man's original innocence. There's no chapter in scriptures that more effectively reveals the source of all evil that is in the world. And so it becomes a very helpful chapter for the man that is ready to accept its truth. God lets man taste the bitter consequences of sins in this life, in order that they may be driven to seek deliverance from them and to lend willing ears and hearts to the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is the lesson of the third chapter of Genesis, a lesson which is repeated over and over again throughout the scriptures, so that we may call the whole Bible nothing but an extended commentary in the words of our text. Only if we read the Bible in this light can we understand and appreciate the beautiful picture that is painted for us in the last chapters of the New Testament, of the new heaven and the new earth, wherein is the tree of life, and where there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Again, so if we don't have a handle on Genesis 1 through 3, it is going to be difficult to get a handle and understand and comprehend the rest of Scripture. So let us continue to nurture ourselves in those chapters, and as we have opportunity, nurture others.
Going back earlier, we were talking about the cross and people not understanding it. That's sometimes why it's nice to see a crucifix, because you know that it tells you what he did, except it's not the whole story. It's only the first half.
Right.
But it does give people that don't understand the cross some more understanding of what it means to us.
Sure. You know, and again, jewelry and so forth are conversation starters. Can be with people. It's important to proclaim and not be preaching. That's that fine line, right? So blessings on your living the faith and sharing the faith through your words and through your actions. Lesson 3 was available. It's got the A, B, C, and D sections you can work through again in Lesson 3. Lord willing, we'll get into it next week as we continue to focus on the fact, come Lord Jesus, you are all in all. Have a great day, Lord.